From out of the pass comes the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again. Hi-yo, Silver! Remember that? An idol back then, childhood idol. And can you remember his sidekick's name? Tonto. And his horse's name? Well, I can. Scout. Get him up, Scout. Those were days. And what about Roy Rogers and Dale Evans? Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Oh, yes, they were all there. These were what were our childhood idols. And don't forget Dana Andrews in I Was a Communist for the FBI. And, of course, Inner Sanctum. And we all liked the Cisco Kid and his sidekick, Pancho. How they used to laugh at the end of every show. Those were the days, so we can say. We all seemed so innocent. But, you know, in a way it was innocent. Especially if you didn't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, you know, at least those were clean times. Those were tidied up times, if you will. Those were times when the name of the Lord wasn't taken in vain as much or even close to as much as it is today. A lot of things that have happened since. Of course, drugs were virtually unknown. Alcohol was the biggest problem. Anyway, if you remember any of these, and I'm not saying you have to understand, I'm trying to make a point here. The point is, today my message is on Christian idols. What they are, how you obtain them, and how far can you go with them. If we look at Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 3, the first commandment that God gave unto Moses was, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Speaking of idolatry, well, here we go. Okay, Christian idols. I'm just going to open in a word of prayer and then we'll get directly into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you've given me, Lord, to deliver this message. I pray you will give me wisdom, Lord, along the way. Give me good utterance, Lord. And that, Lord God, that you would open the ears, Lord, of those who are listening to it and their hearts as well, that they may receive it the way it's intended, Lord. And through it all, Lord, that you would be glorified and that Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, would be lifted up. Amen. Christian idols. What are they? Okay. Now, there are two ways to categorize a Christian idol. One is the idol who becomes or already is a Christian. Okay? Now, everybody seems to have idols, whether they're Christians or not, but we're delving more into idols pertaining to Christians. Okay. The other is the idol of a Christian. Okay? Now, not to confuse you, let me explain. The first idol is someone who wins the hearts and respect of his team and his off-field admirers. In other words, he becomes a Christian while involved in his particular lifestyle. It could be in sports, politics, entertainment, or just someone who's always there helping others, doing for others as well as himself. Now, the other idol is an unsaved person who idolizes a Christian entertainer or a celebrity figure. You know what I mean? Like, oh, look at him. Ah, yes. He's my idol. Now, children especially will quote lines like that. He's my idol. Oh, yeah, he's my idol. Do you know Jose? Oh, yeah, Jose's my idol. Oh, yeah. Do you know so and so? You know, he was a running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, yeah. Ah, yeah, he's my idol. That's what I'm talking about. For example, now, when I was a teeny bopper, if you will, and not saved, not a Christian according to the scriptures I'm talking about, my idol was Elvis Presley and James Dean. Now, some of you out there will know these names, will understand them. They were, in a sense, my idols, although I didn't think of them as idols for me, but I adored them. They were my idols. Okay? If either one of them was saved, then you might say they were my saved idols, which would mean that they were born-again Christians who happened to be famous because of their various works. Now, if I was saved also, then I would be idolizing an idol. Idolizing an idol. In other words, esteeming them to a level of deity. Esteeming them to a level of deity. The reason I have for this elongated descriptive is to emphasize the importance of idolatry and how it can become a very destructive force in the life of a Christian. Now, let us set our sights first on Exodus 20, verse 3. As I said, the words here say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's the Lord God talking to Moses, the first of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is implying idolatry, okay? So, what is an idol? Well, Webster defines an idol as an image of a deity, as an object of worship, a false god, an object of excessive devotion, a worshiper of idols. Now, with Buddhism and Catholicism, idols are created through intense love or excessive veneration. If you love your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or anyone else with excessive veneration, which means beyond anything else, including God, then you make them an idol. That's right. You make them an idol. You know, when I was a kid back in the 40s and 50s, we didn't have TV. So most of the time, our family of five would sit around the kitchen table listening to our very favorites on the old battery-powered radio. Wow. You see, we didn't even have electricity or running water. We had a well out back. And the outhouse, well, that outhouse was like 50 feet away from the wood line, or 50 feet rather out by the wood line, where we always kept a full supply of, some of you will remember this, Sears catalogs. And not just for reading either. They were smooth. But they was also rough. Paul was away a lot in the military, so we'd be sure to listen to all our shows. When it was time to come in the house, we'd sit down around the radio and turn it on for a bit and listen to our favorite shows. And since we could only get one station until our program came on, my favorite, as I may have mentioned earlier, my favorite was always the Lone Ranger. Hyle Silver, the Lone Ranger, yes, sir. He was my favorite. I liked the Cisco Kid, too. I liked, you know, all the cowboy heroes. You know, Tom Mix, Johnny Mac Brown. Not like the ones we have today, Clint Eastwood. The good, the bad, and the ugly are for a few dollars more. Whoa, no, 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 no. I guess you could say we all had our own idols. We all had our own idols, yeah. The question really is, did having these idols mean that we were idolaters? Well, the short response, according to the Word of God, is Yes. If you worshiped your puppy dog, your budgie bird, anything more than God, then technically speaking, you were an idolater. However, for you to be classed as an idolater, scripturally, then there must be veneration. Veneration. Let me tell you right now, Catholicism thrives on veneration. Veneration means to worship, to place on a pedestal, to pray to, like the Catholics pray to statues. Statues of various saints, and to Mary. Mary is not to be prayed to. You know, I don't believe for a moment that a child idolizing or adoring various organisms, including certain people, falls under the guise of biblical idolatry. I don't. For example, the biggest idol I ever had in my life was my dad. My dad. I don't know why I never... I never saw him hardly a lick. I was born in 1940. The war had already started in Europe the year before. My dad left to go over, and after... I wouldn't see him again until the armistice was signed in 1945. Well, I was practically an old kid by then. Like I said, he was my idol. My dad was my idol. And I sure missed him a lot. Mom wasn't much of a kid, Mom. And I'm not blaming her for that. She was a sickly woman back then in those days. She used to take these weird fits. I don't know what you call them. Where her eyes would roll back on her head and she'd start shaking all over, scared the wits out of me. Well, when Dad finally came back from the war, I figured he and I would have some real time together. You know, what dads do with their kids, fishing, hunting, all that stuff. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that way. You see, Dad was always busy with his brothers and his friends. Me, I was just too little to be a part of it. But he was still my idol. By the time the Korean War broke out, and Dad was gone again, I began finding new idols. Like Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys, and Johnny Mack Brown, Tom Mix, and Lash LaRue, all them cowboys, you know. I was really into cowboys. They now had a movie house in town. And all my idols, well, they were playing on what we call the silver screen. A matinee every Saturday morning and afternoon. Kids' time at your local movie house. Well, Mom couldn't afford to pay the 10 or 15 cents it cost for the matinee. So what I'd have to do, well, I'd always go way out the road looking for beer and pop bottles, you know, along the ditch line. People would toss them out of their cars and drive them by. Well, on a good day, I'd have enough money not only to go to the movies, but to get some popcorn, too. Them was good days. They were hard days, but they was good days. And they was lean ones, too. When I had to just sit and think, I needed to see my idols. That's all there was to it. I needed to see my idols. You see, there was this golf course, all pretty close to where we lived, way down Beaches Road. Yeah. I'd go out to the golf course, looking for golf ball. Okay, so I could sell them to the golfers at a cut rate, you know. Go along the bushes, you know, down the shoreline, find balls, sell them. And when the golfers used to hit their ball and they couldn't see where it went, and I did, I would just simply run over and grab it and put it in my pocket and go sell it to some other golfer. I'm admitting here, I'm not saying that was right. It wasn't right. But you had to be fast, because if you get caught, a man a swift boot on the backside. And sometimes even a bloody nose. Between the golf balls and the bottles, well, I got to see all my idols. Except my dad. When my dad returned from the war, I had just become a teenager. And I was really high on the idea of me and my idol, my dad, going hunting or fishing. Yeah. But just like all the times before, it just wasn't meant to be. My two older brothers, well, they had other interests which didn't include me either. As time went by, the things just seemed to get worse. The one person I so adored and wanted to be with more than anybody in my life just didn't have time for me. So I figured if I couldn't be with my idol, I could at least try to be like him. So, guess what I did? I joined the army so I could be near him. On my 17th birthday, the legal age to enter into the military, all I needed was a few war medals. Then my dad would be proud of me. Maybe he'd even want to spend some time with me. Well, I spent 4 years in Germany, but the war was over then. And then when the Greeks and the Turks began fighting over in Cyprus, well, I volunteered for that. And so did my dad, and my brother, and my cousin. I got shot at a few times and got my first medal. So Dad was sure to be proud of that. I knew that. After all, my dad was my idol. And I wanted to be just like him. As the years passed over and my dad retired, I finally got to realize the absolute truth of it all. We'd never get to do anything, father and son like. In fact, I didn't even get to see him that much. Well, as the years went by, our relationship became nothing but a mundane twice-a-month visit, you might say. What I later found out was that my idol and I, well, we didn't have that much in common anymore. Things were about to get worse. There wasn't a bigger sinner around than yours truly. You name it, I probably did it. And did it. And redid it. I wasn't a Christian, but I was a Catholic, so that means I was twice removed from Christ. And I was a real idolater because I was praying to all them statues and to Mary. I think I even prayed to the church mice. Yet deep down within me was always something I just couldn't explain. I knew it would take either a miracle or a tragedy to bring it to the surface. Well, it comes a time, I believe that in the life of every human being, God is making his rounds. And as he pauses at the foot of your bed or near your side during a moment of leisure, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin, no matter what your excuse, God, who maybe uses... He uses no pen or pencil, no. He uses his finger. He takes his finger and on the basis of how it is in your heart, he writes upon the pages of that heavenly manifest your name, only your name, not what you've done, not how great your sin, not how rich or poor you are, but next to every name, an RSVP. In other words, The invitation is open. Or will you not attend? The choice is yours. It's an invitation to come to Christ. For the great banquet, the great banquet, and you ain't seen nothing until you've been to the great banquet. And that hasn't happened yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I began this story that I may accentuate the extreme dangers of idolatry. Whether we realize it or not, we all have idols. An idol can be anything. Anything you give more time to than God. Anything you enjoy more than God. Anything you love or adore more than God. Anything that stands between you and a holy and righteous God can be an idol. When I realized my name was inscribed in God's book of life, and that was to be my invitation to come unto Him, I also realized that if I failed to acknowledge Him as my only real God, then my name would be stricken. I gave my life to God. But not just because I believed in who He was, but because of what He did. He gave His only begotten Son to suffer and bleed and die, to be spat upon, to be ridiculed, to be tortured, and then to rise again on the third day. My friends, this is the full gospel of your salvation. Only part of it will not do. I was with Mom and Dad, and also with my two brothers, James and John. They all died. I told them of my salvation. I showed them of my salvation. I prayed at them and for them. They laughed at me to scorn and called me a fool. They even threatened me. Their names were also written in God's book of life, just like yours are. But by their own testimony, get this clear, by their own testimony, they never made it into the Lamb's book of life. All man's righteousness is as filthy rags. I guess the question is, did having these idols mean we were all idolaters? Did it? Idols can also be things you do, such as forming items to be worshipped. Constructing or building clay or golden statues, rings, chalices, and a variety of man-made figures for the purpose of worship. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 135:15-17. Now listen carefully. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is any breath in their mouths. In 1 John 5:21, the last verse, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Keep yourselves from idols. The Scriptures and the preserved Word of God, of our holy and righteous God, give us the answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Therein lies your answer. As little children, God may wink at our ignorance back then. It's only natural for a child to have idols, such as a puppy dog or a frog or even ladybugs. And of course, even cowboys on the silver screen. Even fathers. In our youth, we are ever searching for solace and comfort. We're ever searching for love, for attention, and for ownership. What you adore the most as a child may be only an ivory-handled cap pistol. God understands the ways of a child. That's why that verse, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. In conclusion, to adore your father or mother in your childhood can only manifest good and wholesome things that will in time lead you in the way you should go. On the other hand, if you hold fast to your childhood idols and bring them into your adulthood with you, then you are allowing yourself to become easy prey for the old devil. And that, well, that can only lead to what idolatry is all about. To your father out there, may I draw your attention to Ephesians 6, verse 4. All you fathers out there, hear this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've told me about idolatry, Lord, and how easy it is to fall into this trap. The old devil knows that, Lord. He entices us daily by putting things before our eyes that we should not have anything to do with, by getting us to have swelling hearts for sports figures and for movie stars and for music stars, making them in essence our idols. Thank you, Lord, for this stern warning that we should have no other gods before us, for this is idolatry. I love you, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Amen.